This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
I deserve good things. I am entitled to my opinion. I refuse to shut the fuck up. I am a sexy beast. I am a dope podcaster. Daily Affirmations with your boy Flame.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar.
The ransom to vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
What's ready?
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn.
I'm going to have a terrific show today. I'm going to help people. Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and
God damn it!
People like me.
Hey, y'all forgive me, man. I had some of that Wii from Yoplait French style yogurt this morning. So I'm in a different type of mood. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am your boy, J.Dot Flan, and I thank you for lending me your ear for a couple of moments of the day. Oh, man. Yeah, I was struggling trying to find some stuff to talk about today, so this might be a little bit of a weird episode. I mean, it already is a weird episode, but bear with me. There's a point. Man, I'm feeling a little successful this morning. Because I'm pretty sure that yogurt was one of those things as a kid I would like stare at the grocery store, knowing I better not ask my mom for it. Like, it's just one of those things I knew I wanted. I just wanted to try because it seemed cool, but I was never going to get to try it, and I was always going to wonder. And now I'm grown, and not only can I buy it, but I have it delivered on some baller type shit. So, yeah, man, I'm celebrating the small stuff today. We got to do that, especially at times like this. But I think that intro to me should be like the litmus test on whether or not you consider a millennial. I feel like, you know, depending on who you ask, I'm right there on the edge of like millennial status. And we all fighting not being labeled a millennial. Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather not be. But I feel like that joke right there, like if you get it, then you're not a millennial. I think that should be the litmus test. Like, if you get that joke, then you're not a millennial. If you don't, then holler at me. I'll explain it to you. And then I'll let you know why we can never be friends. But anyway, back to the show. Yeah. The yogurt inspired me a little bit. It brought something out of me. It reminded me of my childhood and how things have changed for me, you know, since I was a kid. And some of the things that I need to look at these days and be happy about and sort of celebrate. You know, in times like this, if you're lucky enough to not be worried about employment or not be worried about bills or how you're going to eat or where you're going to stay, then life is good, you know, to a certain extent. I sit right in front of a sign right behind my mic whenever I do this, that says there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. And trying to remember that. Trying to keep that in the forefront of my mind so I don't fall down into those pits that I've been in before. I wanted my original idea for the intro was I was going to tell a story about my daughter. Then I realized that story was way too long for any sort of, intro type situation. So it's actually going to become the theme of the episode. So y'all can allow me to indulge for a minute in my proud dadship. I'd like to tell you a little story. I had an interaction I had with my daughter very recently. I see her right now. I see her every Friday. Every Friday is daddy-daughter, you know, sort of time. We spend time together. Sometimes we do a project. We used to be big into slime, making slime. And then that turned into a little bit of an issue because slime was getting like stuck to carpets and pillowcases and all kinds of stuff. It was getting dad was allowing it to get out of control. So we had to cut the slime out. These days we watch a lot of movies. She's big into popcorn and she's big into movies, and that's what we do. So the other night I got my daughter, and she's been having some issues lately with, like, you know, getting so wrapped up in fun and being a kid that she waits till like the last minute to use the bathroom, and then she ends up having, you know, an accident. So we've been asking her more than usual lately if she needs to go to the potty. So anyway, we watching a movie the other night, and she asked me, she lets me know she got to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, dope, you know, cool beans. She's coming out of it. You know, hey, go to the bathroom, do your thing. Thanks for letting me know. So she goes to the bathroom. I'm into the movie. It's Cars 2, riveting stuff. A lot of dialogue to follow. So I'm chilling on the couch. I'm watching the movie. I'm doing like every dad's version of babysitting and parenting. What is it? Kevin Hart clued y'all into it. We listen. So I'm watching the movie. I'm following, you know, the action in Cars 2. But I'm listening, and it's all about water with her right now. So I'm listening for water. She normally goes in the bathroom, and if things are going to go left, she's going to start playing with water. She's gonna, you know, you're going to hear the sink running, or you can hear the splash, and you know something's wrong if you can hear water. So I'm listening for water, watching my movie. Edge of the seat action on the screen. So anyway, I listen, and nothing. I don't hear anything. I don't hear any water. Anything like that, you know. So in my mind, she's being a good girl. She's, you know, she's growing up. She's telling us she got to go to the bathroom, not waiting to the last minute. She didn't get so caught up in the movie that she, you know, she had an accident. She went feeling good about it. So I don't notice that significant amount of time is passing. And eventually when there's a lull in the movie and I kind of come out of it, I call out to her, you know, to see what's going on. Like, you know, like, Elise, what you doing? And she comes on out. She comes right on out. No problems. So, you know, I ask her, because I haven't heard water. I ask her, did you wash your hands? She's like, oh. And so she goes back in the bathroom. You know, I hear the sink. She washes her hands. She comes back out. Also, remember, I ain't hear the toilet flush. I'm like, you flush the toilet? So she goes back in there. She flushed the toilet. You know, she comes back out. Second time she comes out, she tells me, again, like, you know, my daughter being all grown up, she lets me know that it's time to take a bubbly bath. It's bubbly bath time. So I'm like, I bet we can do that. The movie's over now. You have daddy's attention. I've seen, you know, Mater save the world. So I'm good now. So we're walking toward the bathroom. This is a short walk. This is an apartment. It's not like, you know, we had to go to another wing. Short walk. But on the walk to the bathroom, she's trying to explain something to me. And I'm not paying attention. I should have been paying attention, but I'm not paying attention. She's trying to explain something to me. But before she can explain the whole thing, I see it. I get in the bathroom. And what she's done, what she was trying to tell me, what she was trying to prepare me for, was that she wasn't in there playing with water. What she was in there doing was taking all of the toilet paper off the roll and putting it in a pile on the floor, like trying to simulate a pile of leaves so that she could dive into it. This is where my daughter's head is at. I'm livid mostly because I know I fucked up. Like, I know, damn, like, you know. Like, one, it was a brand new roll of toilet paper. Like, her mother handed it to me as she was leaving because my daughter was using the bathroom. And she was like, you know, here's some toilet paper. We know there's no toilet paper in there. Here's some toilet paper. She gave me a brand new roll. It still had the little part with the adhesive where it stuck. Like, it hadn't been peeled or nothing. Like, it was brand new, fresh roll. It was cheap stuff, though. It was the one ply. She wasn't, you know, you got to get what you got to get these days. But it was a brand new roll, and she took the entire roll, like every last ply of toilet paper was in this pile on the floor. It wasn't even connected to the little cardboard piece anymore. It wasn't like I could try to like roll it back up on there. That would have been a hell of an accomplishment if I could, but it was beyond that. we was beyond that point. So, man, I'm like, damn it, you know, I fucked up. There's no way I'm gonna be able to, you know, I'll admit I was thinking of how I was gonna blame it on her. Like, but there's no way I was gonna be able to explain, like, why she was in there long enough to do this without supervision. So, fuck, like, damn it, you know, I gotta, you know, one, I gotta clean it. I gotta, what am I gonna do with a pile of toilet paper on the floor? Then I gotta prepare for the conversation I'm gonna have with her mom when she gets home about the toilet paper. I gotta figure out how I'm gonna replace the toilet paper, because like, this is a hot commodity right now. I can't just let a whole roll of toilet paper disappear on my watch and not do nothing about it. So all this stuff is going through my head. I'm still trying to be dad and trying to move on, you know, from the thing. But I want her to know I'm upset. I want her to know she's done something wrong. This is not cool. Like, we was having a good time watching a movie, eating popcorn. You fucked the mood up. Like, things have changed. It can't be fun and games right now. But, and bubbly bath time is usually fun and games time. You know, that's our time. So anyway, I get the bath ready, get the bubbles going. I put her in, I call my mom, cause that's my MO these days. And I'm kind of proud of that. Like, I've gone from a place where I don't reach out for help, I don't talk to people, I don't, that kind of thing, to like, something goes wrong, something's bothering me, I'm having an issue, I call moms immediately, like, first instinct. And I normally do that on daddy-daughter nights, so we can do like a video call with mom. So my mom's in Maryland, we're here in Texas, you know, want to make sure that she still gets to see her, and my daughter gets to see her, so that when she sees her in person, she knows who she is, and it's not weird and all that kind of stuff. So do the video call. My daughter's in the bath. I'm telling my mom the story. I'm telling my mom the story of the toilet paper. And I'm admitting to my mom, it's my fault. Like, you know, we having that conversation. But I'm telling her the story. And it's clear that I'm upset, that I'm bothered by it. And my daughter could hear that. And when I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, because I was, if you ask my mom, I was bad. I was curious. She raised a free thinking child. So I was out there trying to figure shit out. And sometimes you got to do experiments. That's how it works. And not all my experiments, you know, went over well in the house. But yeah, so I got in trouble a lot. And I always hated, like, that my mom would get on the phone and like tell the world all the shit that I had done. And she would do it like in my face. And I mean, it would just piss me off. And I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't noticing it. You know, I wasn't conscious of it in the moment, but I was doing the very same thing to my daughter right then. Like, she's in the bed. This is normally our fun, bubbly bath times, playing with her bath toys and all kinds of stuff. And she's not having the fun she would normally have, because she's sitting there listening to her dad, you know, talk about the bad thing that she just did to her grandmother. And I guess, you know, she kind of got over it a little bit. She moved on in her head, and, you know, she had her fun. And I tried to be as present and attentive in the moment as I could. And eventually my mom kind of noticed that I wasn't being as present with my daughter as I should be. You know, for the limited time that I get to spend with her. So we got off the phone. We ended the call. We ended the call, and I go to get, you know, Elise, my daughter, out the tub, so we can start, you know, the bedtime routine. And she stands up in the tub, and she stops, and she says to me, this is what she says to me, just like this. This is what she says to me. She says, "Here's the thing, Dad. Here's the thing." She's 4 years old. "Here's the thing, Dad. My point is that I made a mistake, and I won't make my mistake again. That's my point." And what could I say? Like, bet, okay, you know, dap me up. Thank you. It was the dopest thing I've ever experienced. Like it was dope for two reasons. Like one, because I realized in that moment that my daughter is like the most hilarious person on the face of the planet. And that two, she's just like me, but better. Yeah. Like, but so much better. It was a real like proud dad moment. Like she assessed the situation. She noticed something that she didn't like. She noticed the tension in the room. Dad wasn't exactly happy, and Dad's unhappiness was, you know, causing him to do things that were making her uncomfortable. And then she, like a G, just addressed it. Like, elephant in the room, bow, let's get this out, and let's move on. Like, here's the thing. I fucked up. I'm not going to do it again. That's the point. And, you know, I hope that she never loses that. Like, I hope she never forgets that's the point. The point is that if you can acknowledge your mistake and learn from it, then you can move on. And furthermore, I hope she recognizes that the important part is that she's convinced of that, not me or anyone else. As long as she believes that at any moment she can turn it around, you know, she can identify a mistake, stop, and decide to not make that mistake again. Now, there's action that has to go with that. You know, that decision doesn't create the situation where you never make the same fuck up again. Like, there's action that has to go along with that. But you can make that decision at any moment in time. No matter how many times you've made the same mistake again, this time can be the last time. And nobody else needs to believe it but you. They'll believe it when it happens. They'll believe it when they see it. Like, man, it was just super dope to see my daughter, like, just do that. Like, that was some boss level shit. Like, she just, look there. Let me snip this in the butt. Here's the thing. that's going to be my thing with my daughter for a while. Like, hey, Elise, here's the thing. it was fucking amazing. But, yeah, proud dad. She's definitely, like, just like me in a lot of ways, but way, way better. I never told this story, but, like, she kicked her first addiction, like, cold turkey. So I know she's got that in her. You know, she was doing the whole thing with the pacifiers, and then one day she just was like, I don't need a pacifier anymore. Here you go, you can have it. And moved on, and like just moved on. And literally, like from that day forward, she didn't do pacifier. Prior to that, she had like six pacifiers in the bed at any given time. Cause if she woke up in the middle of the night and she couldn't reach a pacifier without opening her eyes, then she was awake and it was going to be drama. So like pacifiers just had to be randomly dropped wherever so that at any given moment, if she reached her hand out, wow, she was going to hit a pacifier. And not have to wake up. And then one day she was like, yo, I don't need it. Done. It's over. I don't know who said what to her. It wasn't me. I don't know where she got here the thing from. Yeah, I'm guessing maybe daycare. I don't know. But it's dope. She's a dope little girl. Proud that I wanted to share that with y'all. So moving on. Segway game is horrible today. The original idea for this episode. And I'm glad I went away from it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. I went away from it, but I'm still going to do it. Who cares? I was going to talk about Michael Jordan. Yeah, the documentary is out. And hopefully this will show you like how these episodes get made and get put out. Cause I'm going to talk about something that aired like last night. And then this episode is going to be out on Monday. So I obviously didn't record anything until after like 11 PM, Sunday night. Anyway, I digress. I wanted to talk about Michael Jordan because I have a lot of intense debates about Michael Jordan and my feelings toward him. I'm gonna say it. I'm afraid to say it because I feel like Michael Jordan has one of those followings, like almost up there with the Beehive. Is it Beehive? 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 Whatever. Beehive. You know, I feel like I could get canceled, black card revoked, all that kind of stuff if I say how I really feel, but. Personally, I hate Michael Jordan. I said it. I feel better for having said it. It's out there now. I hate Michael Jordan. And I got a lot of reasons. Now, one, he is the greatest basketball player of all time, bar none. I'm not debating that. It's not debatable. It's just not, you know. Where he was in terms of the people, the competition around him, the gap was just huge. He didn't have a peer. He didn't have a peer at any point in his career. I don't think that anybody has come since then that really has had that kind of a skill level gap between them and everybody else around him. I think everybody right now has somebody that's close or has somebody that, you know, you kind of have a conversation about whether or not this is the best player in the NBA or this is the best player in the NBA or if this guy has the potential to catch him or whatever. I think when MJ was playing, there wasn't a discussion. It was MJ and then it was everybody else. Yeah. So anyway, so let's get that out the way. I don't dislike him from a basketball player ability standpoint. I dislike him as a person. and he was afraid that this documentary would cause people to feel like that. And just to, you know, calm your fears, Mr. Jordan, this documentary did not cause me to feel that way. I felt that way way before this fucking documentary. And this documentary has just given me evidence to now help me in my discussion when I talk to other people about it. And I'm not going to go too far into it because, like I said, I decided that this was not going to be what this episode was going to be about. But I don't know, you know. I like making people uncomfortable. I like having these conversations. I want to have the conversation, but I don't want to have the conversation because I kind of know how it goes. Like, no, you don't want to hear these things about your hero. But I want to say them anyway. Anyway, here's the thing. Michael Jordan. He said this in the documentary and everybody around him has said this. He was consumed by the need to win at all costs. And at all costs meant anybody that was a liability, anybody he felt was a liability, anybody he felt was not on the same page with him as far as winning or as far as accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish. It wasn't about what you wanted to accomplish. It wasn't about what you needed. It wasn't about what was best for you. It was about winning, because winning was what was most important to him. And I don't know if that's just the way you gotta be to reach that level of success. I hope not. Maybe it is. But I think we're seeing that in this documentary is that, you know, as much as people try to portray that as a positive trait, that somebody is just like driven toward winning and they're like, LeBron don't have that killer instinct and so and so, you know, I think Kobe did. And I still don't see Kobe in this light. You know, a couple of things have happened in this documentary that have shown like just how like ruthless and like it's all about winning. And I think to a certain extent, it's all about me. The reasons I really don't like him, I think, play into this. I think it was all about him winning or being the best or making the most money. And it didn't matter the casualty. It didn't matter, you know, the collateral damage, whatever it was going to take to maximize profits or to be number one. Let's do it. But let me give you the example that I think has been shown on this documentary so far. So last week, you know, it ended with the conversation about Scotty and, you know, and Scotty clearly being at the least the second best player on that team, maybe the second best player in the league, but the 122nd highest paid player in the league and the sixth highest paid player on that team. And then there was the issue where it got down to the point where, you know, he elected to have the surgery right before the season started as kind of a way to, I don't know, it's kind of a fuck you to the organization or a way to like force them to have a conversation about, you know, his contract. And the episode last week kind of ended with Jordan saying that was him being selfish. That was him being more concerned about, you know, his money and not, I think the way Jordan put it, the vow he made to the team or something like that, or the, you know, like the agreement that he made. He knows it was a bullshit agreement. And he knows that he was way outperforming that contract, and the team and everybody was, they were taking advantage of Scotty. He was taking advantage of Scotty. But in his mind, it was selfish because it was all about winning. All about winning. And it was all about the team, and you're supposed to do this for the team. Fast forward to the episode that just aired last night when they finally get over the hump, beating the Pistons and that whole situation. And shouts to him. I mean, you heard from the Pistons players, like, for him to survive the shit they put him through with the Jordan rules and all that stuff. Amazing dude. I'm not knocking, like, his drive or anything like that, or his skill level, or I'm not saying it wasn't there. I'm saying maybe it was, maybe it was borderline evil. I don't know. But anyway, end of that episode, they beat the Pistons. They get to the finals. They beat Magic Johnson and the Lakers. And if you listen to that episode, end of that episode, and the stuff Jordan talks about his feelings about winning that championship, I didn't hear him once mention how good it felt to win it for Chicago, how good it felt to win it for the organization, how good it felt to win it for his team members. I heard him talk about how he was now in the conversation with Magic and Bird, and how he had gotten over the hump, that this winning thing, this idea that winning was the most important, it was for him. It wasn't for anybody else. I did not hear him mention a single solitary other person other than his legacy, how he was viewed, who he was better than, or who he was now on par with. That's what I heard. But when Scotty was looking out for himself, that was selfish. And he needed to put the team first. I'm just saying, that's how I heard it. I would love to discuss it with you. I would love to discuss it with you. Y'all don't talk to me about nothing. Talk to me about this. Let's talk about MJ. Anyway, that same ruthless mentality that was like, he got to be the best. You know, he got to be better or on par or in that discussion with the greats. That same ruthless mentality he applied to some other situations. And, it wasn't always teammates and stuff that was the casualties and some of the shit that I think he tried to pull off, or he didn't care, got pulled off in his name. Oh, man, I'm going too deep. Anyway, let's come back. I don't know. I want to end with a joke because I feel like that was a fucked up way to end the episode with my negative feelings about it. Now I feel bad. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. What do I got on the soundboard that'll make me feel better?
God damn it!
Yeah, that's how I feel right now. That's how I feel right now. But yeah, that's all I got for today. Thank you for listening, as always. Just remember, you know, at any point in time, that the point is that whatever mistakes you've made, whatever your past is, you can't change it, but you can absolutely change the now. You can change the decision you make right now. You can make the next right decision right now and move in a different direction at this moment. It's absolutely possible. And as long as you believe that, that's the point. Here's the thing, you know? But as always, thank y'all for listening. Until we speak again, be safe, be the light. Buy some merch. I'm gonna rock out. Hope y'all rock out with me. This is Sky Zoo. Hey, yo, this album came out in 2012, man. I swear y'all don't tell me nothing. I swear y'all just let shit happen, and I don't know nothing about it. And I be looking for music, can't find it, and then I find out like 8 years later this album dropped. It's crazy. Sky Zoo. Spike Lee was my hero. Shiny's dope. All right, let's rock out.
I heard these from my pillow, right? Made me lean out my window, right? Knew the scene from the get-go, right? But Spike Lee was my hero, right? Said Spike Lee was my hero, right? But Spike Lee was my hero. Say you here by any means, tell him ditto, right? But Spike Lee was my hero. One of the few who had his pops out the whole block.
Told me never to settle or let the dough stop. Leave here with as much as you go.